The assigned reading for this Tuesday is Amos chapter 9, 11 to 15. In that day I will raise up the booth of David that is fallen, and repair its breaches, and raise up its ruins, and rebuild it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations who are called by my name, declares the Lord who does this. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him who sows the seed. The mountains shall drip sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. I will restore the fortunes of my people Israel, and they shall rebuild the ruined cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink their wine, and they shall make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant them on their land, and they shall never again be uprooted out of the land that I have given them, says the Lord your God. That is God's word. Before I ask today's question, there's 8 chapters in Amos where he is having God's retribution against nations. Prior to the last verses of the book of Amos, where he talks about raising the tabernacle of David that has fallen. Now, one of the nations that God brings judgment on in the early part of Amos is Edom. For 3 transgressions of Edom, and for 4, I will not revoke the punishment, because he pursued his brother with the sword and cast off all pity, and his anger tore perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever. Now, Edomites were the descendant of Esau. Edom, Esau, red, kind of the skin of Esau, the oldest son of Isaac. And boy, did he ever hate Isaac, as we well know why. In fact, Leviticus 19:17, "You shall not hate your brother in your heart," really describes a fundamental problem of Edom, hatred, which was a consequence of his pride. He always felt that he should have been the master and instead should have received his father's wealth and blessing. And he nursed his wounded feelings of superiority, and it boiled over in hatred against his brother. This flaw became a prime feature of Edomite character. The book of Obadiah is only a few verses long, but almost the entire book is against Edom. "For violence against your brother Jacob, shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever." In fact, when Israel was being conquered by the Babylonians, the Edomites stood off and laughed at what was happening to Israel. They were so happy because they so hated Israel. Which leads us to today's question. When God says in Amos 9:14 that he will restore the fortunes of my people Israel, who agrees here that the promise would also include the Edomites, who were laughing when the Babylonians destroyed the temple and Israel? Anybody think the Edomites would be included in that promise of Israel? I think that makes sense when we think about it, but we need to realize that God's reasoning is not our reasoning. And it's important to know whether the Edomites could be brought into the family of God, because all you have to do is change Edomites to Pharisees, or Sadducees, or Romans, or you and me. Because which one of us have not done grave sins against Almighty God? Where is our hope? If the Edomites have no hope, why do you think we should? Because we're no different than the Edomites. In fact, at a Bible study, I refer to the people who come to the Bible study as, "Oh, I'm glad some Edomites came to hear what we have to say today." Because all of us, I mean, we confess it. I deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. That question is really important. So where's our hope? It's found in the text we were given for today in verses 11 and 12 of Amos 9. In that day I will raise up the booth of David that has fallen and repair its breaches and raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations who are called by my name, declares the Lord who does this. Now, the only nation called by his name was Israel until the new covenant came into impact. And even under the old covenant, remember, Jonah was sent to the town of Nineveh, a Gentile town. So Gentiles were certainly considered to be part of this promise of God. There's a Greek translation of the Hebrew text. It's called the Septuagint. And when it talks about the remnant of Edom, right out of here, it changes it to the remnant of men, including all human beings. It reads this way. This is the Septuagint. In that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David that has fallen and will rebuild the ruins of it and will set up the parts thereof that have been broken down and will build it up as in the ancient of days, that the remnant of men and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called may seek me, says the Lord who does all these things. That is quoted in Acts chapter 15. Remember, they got this big conversation whether Gentiles should be included in the church of God. And Paul and Barnabas speak. Then James says the following. Brothers, listen to me. Simeon, Peter, has related how God first visited the Gentiles to take from them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree just as it is written. And guess what? Who he quotes? He quotes Amos. After this, I will return and I will rebuild the tent of David that has fallen. I will rebuild its ruins and I will restore it that the remnant of mankind, that's from the Septuagint, may seek the Lord and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from of old. Therefore, James says, my judgment is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to God. By referring to the Edomites, therefore, as those who are part of the remnant of Israel, we now understand that the booth of David to be reconstructed is really none other than that of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the Holy Christian Church. He is the new temple of God. And you recall that Paul makes a big point about the great mystery that is now known, that wasn't as well known in the Old Testament days, was that not only the chosen Jews, but also the Gentiles will become part of the people of God, and they will call upon the name of the Lord. In fact, Isaiah 49 says of Jesus, it is a great thing for thee to be called my servant, to establish the tribes of Jacob, and to recover the dispersion of Israel. Behold, I have given thee for the covenant of a race, for a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Now we begin to understand why God, during the Epiphany season, had the wise men visit the baby Jesus. Might have been about a year after the stable account, but they were Gentiles. Luke 2:29, Simeon says about that, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. If you read the book of Amos, you really get surprised when all of a sudden there's abrupt change from the strong message of condemnation and rebuke in verses 10 and 11 that we were given for today, the sword of judgment gives way to the grace of reconstruction. In fact, without the last passages, the last verses of Amos, the book of Amos would have been incomplete, because he is now declaring that the reason of the divine judgment was not revenge, but the only way that it is possible to usher in the restored order on which the heart of God is set. For example, you may have little kids and they get to a certain age, they become pretty independent, but if they fall down and hurt their knee, mommy, daddy, mommy, daddy. So also that's how God works with us sometimes, through suffering. And when we suffer and are unable to hold it, contain it, and direct its way, then that is the way that God has us look outside of ourselves. And that's what happened to Edom. Because of their treatment of Israel, God made sure that their lands were destroyed, and that many of them, therefore, realized they could not handle their life. God announced that even Gentiles who are called by my name would come under the tabernacle of David. During this weekend, we rejoice that a number of folks, even from KFUO, attended the Strong Pro-Life message in Washington, D.C., Chicago, etc. And we remember yesterday, whether you're aware of this or not, Martin Luther King Jr., that he was a very strong proponent of the pro-life message. In fact, his relatives continue on that tradition of his. I, in fact, interviewed one of them on my Law and Gospel program, and she was very strongly pro-life. If God's restoration, therefore, of the chosen people through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ can even save Edomites, there is no one right now hearing this message who has committed any grave sin, including abortion, that God will not forgive and adopt into his holy family. And whether or not, whatever our sins are, there is nothing you've done that Christ did not pay for. Yes, many of us are Gentiles, but the promises of the Old Testament are fulfilled in Jesus Christ, whom Gentiles came to give gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Amen.